Tyranny, tyranny, and more tyranny. We just can't get away from tyranny. Not until the second coming of Yahshua. Yeehaw! As Clan Fedron is. So, thank you, David, for getting us on the air.
Yeehaw!
We are coming back from, what is it now, 7, 8 months, almost 9 months of confusion based on the fact, which we finally, after months of trying to diagnose our intermittent, let me practice that word, intermittent connection problems, which were due to the fact that my server all of a sudden no longer had enough power to broadcast. So I had to upgrade my AT&T account to get more power. And thank you, praise Yahweh, praise Yahshua. We are finally going live on a regular basis again. All right. Today there was a different glitch. There was a show in the time slot, so we had to wait a half an hour to go live. But here we are. Good morning, Pastor Steve.
Good morning.
Yeah. You sound rosy. Grumpy. Pastor Grumpy has joined us. But I understand you just woke up, so I feel grumpy sometimes when I get up. But we're going to do Words as Weapons, Part 8. And people listening in the chat room have heard portions of Part 7, which we recorded previous to this show. We're almost done with this document. I see somebody put the link to the document at anglo-saxonisrael.com. By the way, David James discovered something. When people search for Anglo-Saxon Israel on the net, if you do a Google search, you will get a warning that that this is, you know, they won't tell you why, but they'll give you, this is a terrorist site or, you know, porn site or whatever. They'll get a warning not to go there, okay? And unless you type in the exact name of the website, www.anglo-saxonisrael.com, then you will, the server will take you there without a problem. But if you do a search online, it will give you a warning that this is a forbidden site. Don't go there. Okay? So this is the way, this is how the Jews prevent people from going to that site. You know, it's censorship. And then I get low ratings. Okay? Right? I just can't get away from these low ratings. But fortunately, Pastor Steve, I think your website, I don't know how many people Google it or surf to find it. Your website on Bible translations, I think people just go directly
there.
Well,
the problem is they type in Pastor Steve. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to get a whole page full of people going by Pastor Steve. Or they'll spell mm-hmm. it wrong, Pastor, P-A-S-T-E-R, oh, it's Pastor.
Right.
Potter. Well, then they'll get something else.
Yeah, right, a paste.
They have to type in the exact URL, and I give that, and then people in the chat room, oh, you don't need to do all of that. Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to get everything in the world except me.
Yeah. There is another guy going by Pastor Steve who is actually Jew savvy, but he's also a universalist. At least he exposes the evils of the Jews and the fact that they're not Israelites. So this is really great that more and more people are discovering that the Jews are not Israelites, which actually is part of today's subject. I'm going to back up into the Dispersed of Israel section of Arsenal of Words. And I should have subtitled this section the Judeo-diaspora, which is what the Jews refer to themselves being forcibly. They were actually forcibly kicked out of Palestine by the Romans. Many of them settled in Sicily, right? That's where all of those mafiosos come from. Most of those so-called Italian mobsters are actually Edomite Jews. Okay?
Yep.
David and I did a whole series on that, on One-to-One. You know, just go back into the archives to get that information, folks. It's really critical you understand that the Jew monopoly of media has been covering up Jewish mafiosos, and that the fact is that organized crime, not just in America, but the world
they own Hollywood, and they presented all the Hollywood movies.
Right.
Where all the mobsters were all Sicilian Jews.
Right.
No.
And they weren't. You know, Meyer Lansky? Come on,
Bucky
man.
Bucky Siegel?
Right? Yeah.
Bucky Arnold Siegel. Rothstein?
Yeah, Rothstein. Those guys are Sicilians.
I mean, what?
Right, yeah. Now, this is the state of media in the world, not just America. The Jews have monopolized media all over the planet, and they censor us because we.
And who is prince in power of the air right now?
And the airwaves. Good call.
The devil and his children.
Amen. Okay, let's get into this. Most Judeo-Christian scholarship treats the New Testament as if it occurred outside of its historical context. And I would state it even more precisely or more adamantly than when I wrote this about 10 years ago. It's the Judeo-Christian churches are ahistorical, if not anti-historical, because it's all about promoting their dogma, none of which is historical, all of which is either antinomianism, dispensationalism, or
everything's nailed to the cross.
Right, it's all nailed to the cross. So why bother even looking back in history, right? Because you're all saved. You're just waiting for the rapture bus. Anyway,
great vacuum cleaner in the sky. Suck everybody up.
Yeah, somebody actually made a graphic of that of a rapture device with a vacuum hose at the end of it, sucking people up. That was great. Anyway. So what we're seeing here, since they are ignorant of the historical facts concerning the dispersion of those times, their theology is devoid of the crucial role played by the Israelite heritage. Okay? They're not interested in who's an Israelite or who isn't, because they believe in spiritual Israel. Right?
Yeah.
Spiritual Israel, even though there is no such term in the Bible. The only dispersion they know about is the Jewish diaspora, which began in 70 AD. For this reason, the assumptions and interpretations of the Universalists are shown to be utter hogwash, Jewish hog slop, and their rationalizations and false notions have deceived millions. And I think these deceptions, Pastor Steve, have even done more damage than Jewish deceptions.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because the people in the pews trust those guys they call pastor or minister.
Well, that's laziness on the part of the congregation because they just want to go and dress up in their suit and tie and show up. Usually their wife makes them go. And then they look good, and they shake hands with their business contacts for during the week, and they sit there and suffer through some mewling little sermon. And
God
is love. We all have to love our brethren, especially the transgenders.
Yeah. Right.
And the guy in the pulpit
has a limp wrist.
I will slap you silly,
right?
Bad fellow. You
bad boy. Oh. Bad soy boy. Okay.
Oh, man.
This
is how
sick.
And then
this is really how
that,
sick.
That one Baptist church invited me to speak, and I went in, and boy, I did a bell ringer.
Mm-hmm.
And
grand slam.
They said when I was done, it looked like snow out there because even the blacks turned white.
Right.
Oh boy.
Yeah,
and they never asked. It's like a Leroy in Maryland. They asked them to leave.
Uh-huh, right. The churches asked them to leave because they're trying to teach
the
truth.
Asking pertinent questions. Well, what about this?
Don't ask.
We don't discuss that. You're disrupting things.
Right.
Yeah. You're disrupting our monopoly. Right. Okay. So These universalist interpretations are utter hogwash. These apostate doctrines have succeeded at deception beyond the wildest expectations of the Pharisaic Jews, as these heretical doctrines are the literal fulfillment of Revelation 12:9, having enabled them to successfully deceive the whole world. Okay?
Yep, even the very elect.
Even the except, well,
yep, it says, that's the power of the media.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a combined power. They have set themselves up really well.
Yes, they have.
You have to give them credit. They did a good job of it. And boy, they've got them hooked.
The Jews own all those televangelical stations.
Own
them.
Sure they do.
Right? So they're teaching Judaism.
And they sponsor, like, Joel Osteen and all of the prosperity doctrine.
And trips to Israel, right? And you're all saved. And the Jews have their own path to salvation, as so-called Pastor Hagee insists. Okay, obviously, that's all hogwash. All right. The fact is that the Jewish diaspora is that of the enemies of Christ, the Pharisees and their followers, the Edomites and Canaanites of Idumea and Judea, as he himself makes perfectly clear at Luke 21:24. And which is also prophesied in part at Jeremiah 24:8-9, 26:6, 29:17-19, etc. The Jewish diaspora scattered the Jews with their satanic religion from Jerusalem to Babylon, Asia Minor, and northern Africa, and I failed to mention Sicily here. With regard to the modern Christian apostasy, it's as if the rabbis handed the baton of illusion off to the Judeo-Christian, saying, quote, take this and run as hard and as fast as you can, unquote. And the Judeo-Christian sprinted right over a cliff without a parachute.
Well, they've infiltrated all the cemetery schools that teach, and they learn this stuff. Well, I want to be a Southern Baptist. So they go to a Southern Baptist college and take their religion courses taught by Jews.
Right.
With textbooks written by Jews. And then when they get done and they're ordained a pastor, they get out and they teach that to the congregations because they truly believe it. They're not doing it deliberately.
Yeah, would their
pastor
lie?
They actually believe that claptrap.
Yeah, they actually believe it. Yeah, right.
They're very enthusiastic and they all walk in lockstep. And if you question, they get apoplectic and go crazy and then kick you out.
Yeah. Well, the Jews sponsored C.I. Schofield and the Dallas Theological Seminary, and here in Chicago, Moody Bible Institute. They were the first ones to pick up on it, and those two organizations are the biggest promoters of C.I. Schofield and the nonsense of that Jewish version of the scriptures. Okay? That's universalism. That's all it is. Okay?
Yep.
So, and then others, and, you know, it's caught on like wildfire. You can see Jewish bribes being paid to the various cemetery schools around the world to pick up on this nonsense. It was Samuel Untermeyer, a Rothschild agent, who sponsored C.I. Schofield to write that book.
And when I first started going to Southern Baptist Church, yes, we're proud of our Judeo-Christian
right.
tradition here. And you're going to hear the Word of God right here, right out of the King James Bible. Anything other than that King James Bible is heresy, brother.
Yeah.
It's heresy. It's a perfect Word of God. There are no errors in that Bible. And then liars. Liars, they got a demon.
Right.
They say that it's wrong.
Well, you have a right
God,
to mock.
God, you got a demon.
You have a right to mock because you are from Kentucky. You're a Southern boy. Okay,
froth at the mouth.
Like frog hair spit tight.
And handle snakes and a bunch of dye that gets bit by some of those timber rattlers are handling.
Yeah, right. But this is modern Judeo-Christianity, folks. What an awful, awful spectacle. All right, so regarding John 11:51-52, the high priest of the Pharisees, Caiaphas, who was ultimately responsible for the execution of our Messiah, knowing full well that the other tribes were dispersed abroad. Okay, even the Pharisees knew this, made this prophecy. Now quote, and listen to his language. And this he spake not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. He does not say our nation. Why do you think that is, Pastor Steve? Why didn't he use the word our nation instead of that nation?
Because he wasn't part of
He wasn't an Israelite. He wasn't a Judahite. He was an Edomite, right?
That's correct.
This is a slip of the tongue by Caiaphas admitting that, we in Identity know that the Pharisees were empowered by the Romans. First of all, by putting Herod the Edomite as governor over all of Judea, which included the tribe of Judah. So they were under occupation. That is, the people of Judah were under occupation. And Herod assassinated all of the true teachers.
Well, they killed all the priests of the Aharonic line.
Right.
They murdered
the leaders. The leaders, yeah. They killed all the leaders. And then he replaced them with Edomites.
Yep.
And a couple of traitors, which is how they still operate today. You know, they always leave a front man of the original tribe to better manipulate the people. So very carefully notice, folks. And this he spake not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. He doesn't use the word our nation. And not for that nation only, but that he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Mm-hmm. Now, if Caiaphas understands that all 12 tribes were to be redeemed and brought back together under Yeshua, why don't the Judeo-Christians understand that?
Well, because they have been, as they say, sincerely deceived, as Swampbox says.
Yeah, sincerely deceived, right? Okay. And this, if you read the Bible carefully,
and we're fighting against this, and you can imagine, folks, that giant machine, and then we're just little voices crying in the wilderness against a giant machine that's pumping out all that propaganda. We've had an uphill battle, and that's why the remnant is going to be small. Remnant, and the others, even if they're out of ignorance, they're going to deny. They're going to deny it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you point it out and you prove it to them, they'll still deny it because they can't break away from their comfort zone.
Nobody wants to admit that they've been deceived, right? Because
that's
they
right.
Feel, I'm too smart to be deceived. Don't tell me I've been tricked. All right.
Yep, it would be embarrassing.
It would be very embarrassing. Okay. All right, so I failed to give a reference for this quote, but it's John chapter 10, and it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, which of course are Israel. But he that is an hireling, who was hired? Who hired the Pharisees? Okay, it was Herod who hired the Pharisees, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not. Okay, he's telling us right here. The Israelites do not belong to the Pharisees. They seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Okay.
This two is... houses reunited in the kingdom.
Amen.
The two houses have been reunited.
At Calvary.
And the kingdom, the kingdom theology is what he preached. He did right. not preach individual salvation.
That's right.
Never did. That's church doctrine today. That's doctrine of men.
Yeah.
And
the parables are not about personal salvation. They're about the kingdom.
Well, I remember way back when, in a lot of the churches, especially the southern churches, blacks were not allowed in the church.
Mm-hmm.
They would escort them out if they tried to integrate that
right?
church. You know, hey, you, they'd grab them by the arm and take them out. And don't come back in here now, boy.
Yeah, right. How dare they?
You want to go to church? You go to your own church.
Go to your own church. Right.
In your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You don't need to mix with us.
Yeah. Now here again, Paul gets a, and in this case, it was the Gospel of John. There's so many Paul bashers out there who don't understand that this interpretation is false. Judeo-Christian interpreters assume the expression "not of this fold" is a reference to non-Israelites. Is it at all possible, Pastor Steve, that "not of this fold" is a reference to non-Israelites?
No. The whole book is to Israel.
Amen.
It tells a history before Israel and where Israel actually came from. And after that is stated, the whole book is of, by, to, for, about Israel. The subsection of the Adamic race, all of Israel is Adam, but not all of Adam is Israel. And the Adamic people have been mixed so badly now that only the purebreds of Israel are going to hear. And you have to understand how many people that appear to be white and present themselves as white are not white. They've
Meghan
got they've
Markle?
Got they've got a little mud in the background, or a little Jew, or a little whatever,
mm-hmm. and a little and, comes out big time.
They can't hear what we've got to say. The bloodline has been diluted, and only the purebreds are going to hear the Christian identity message.
Yes.
You know, we're these guys that are looking for a great big audience and great big cathedral full of people. That's not going to be our people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen.
Yes.
Don't look for a mega church, Christian Identity mega church. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
going to be small, scattered congregations.
Right. Friday we did a Yahweh's Covenant People show on Acts chapter 13, again showing that all of the Israelites assembled for Pentecost were of that same fold, of that fold of dispersed Israel, not non-Israelites. It's, if you read the context, you cannot make any mistake about it, folks. Both Peter and Paul refer to the assembled men there as ye men of Israel.
That's correct.
No outsiders were invited, period. Okay.
Nope.
So, I'm forgetting that we only have half an hour left, not an hour. Okay. So, when he said, I come not but, meaning only, I come only unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, that statement
That's
is a
right.
direct contradiction of their interpretation. All right.
Okay. Right. And they weren't lost. They were just, the knowledge that they were Israel was lost.
Right.
Now we're teaching who Israel truly is, and boy, are we suffering mm-hmm. for it.
Yes, amen, amen.
Now, boy, they hammer on us.
Yeah.
Ooh.
The Gospel of John is so exclusive and anti-Jewish that we have really yet to do a thorough study of the Gospel of John. I'm actually quite looking forward to that. Maybe we should put that in line number one or first in line for 2019, okay? Because we've got a couple of, we want to get into Second Maccabees after we're done with this document. So why don't you take Romans 11 in the light of the exclusiveness doctrine?
All right. You want me to read the whole?
Well, just, you know, just go ahead and read and comment.
This is from the Scriptures.
Okay.
By the Institute for Scripture Research, starting with verse 1. I say then, has Elohim rejected his people? Let it not be, for I also am of Israel, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Elohim has not rejected his people. See Psalm 94:14.
Now, but isn't that contradicted by the Judeo-Christians?
Well,
who say that, you know.
All right. Elohim has not rejected his people whom he knew beforehand. That's why you would be born from above.
Amen.
He knew us from the beginning of time. Do you not know what the scripture says of Eliyahu, how he pleads with Elohim against Israel, saying, Yahweh, they have killed your prophets and overthrown your slaughter places, and I alone am left, and they seek my life.
This is Israelites he's talking about.
First Kings 19, verses 10 and 14. But what does the answer of Elohim say to him? I have left for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal.
Amen. Praise Yahweh.
So there was a remnant then. There's a remnant now. There's a lot of people that are of Israel out there, but they've hardened their heart and their ears are stopped up, and they're not hearing the truth because they are under that strong delusion.
Right. Let me add my comment here. Race mixing and prostitution were common practices of the Baal religion in those days, which was adopted by especially the Israelites of the 10 northern tribes, but also by the Judahites of the house of Judah as well. In fact, it is proper to say that race mixing and prostitution were institutionalized in these Baal temples. Unlike Mosaism, which demanded that the Israelites separate themselves from all alien nations and religions, paganism accepts everybody, and still does today. Okay, the book of Revelation tells us at the judgment day, Yahweh will reserve 144,000 for himself. Okay,
that's correct.
That's better than 7,000. Back to you.
Verse 5. So therefore also at this present time, a remnant according to the choice of favor has come to be. Verse 6. And if by favor, it is no longer of works. Otherwise, favor is no longer favor. And if it is of works, it is no longer favor. Otherwise, work is no longer work.
Okay, Paul is not saying that grace replaces work. He is simply saying that Yahweh's favor in this instance trumps the rituals. Okay.
That's correct.
Right. Okay.
Verse 8. Boy, listen to this. As it has been written, Yahweh has given them a spirit of deep sleep.
Did you miss this?
Eyes not to see and ears not to hear unto this day.
Did you miss verse 7? What then, Israel?
Okay, verse 7. Yeah, what then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the chosen did obtain it, and the rest were hardened.
Right. As they are today. Happened.
They are today.
Yes.
And they are so hardened that they want to do us physical harm if we teach the truth, just like they did.
That's right.
Back then, because they had fooled a lot of the actual Israelites into their Pharisaism, Talmudism, and they were part of the temple. And if you rocked their little boat, they would want to do you in. Well, they wanted to do Yeshua Messiah in for teaching the truth.
The Israelites had succumbed to earthly pleasures. They had totally abandoned the Mosaic law and were as good as Jews. Back to you.
Right. Verse 9. Dawid is his actual name, not David. Dawid also says, let their table become for a snare and for a trap and for a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Verse 10, let their eyes be darkened not to see and bow down their back always.
Mm. Wow.
They're bowed and bowed down.
Bending over backwards.
The false doctrine.
Right. They're bending
they're
over
carrying
backwards
that
to believe false
around,
doctrine. Yeah.
And that false doctrine is a doctrine of death. Because they're denying the Godhead, they're denying Yahweh, they're denying the name, and they are following the doctrine that they have been taught that everybody's brothers, we can have your transgenders and your race mixed couples. And all this other, and you're supposed to sit there in the pew when. Deuteronomy says in 23:2, shall not come a mamzer, that's mixed breed or mongrel, into the congregation of Yahweh, even unto the generation of the tenth, shall not come into the congregation of Yahweh. You're not to have other races. They're not to be within Israel.
Yes, yes. Well, if you falsely believe that Paul is addressing Jews, and this is what many neo-pagans and secular white separatists, etc., believe, then this makes sense that they falsely believe that he's addressing Jews, not Israelites, okay?
So they don't want to hear, and a lot of them don't want to hear our message because they are part of that white separatist cult. And if they start to say, well, this Christian identity sort of makes some sense, then they get kicked out of that, and it rocks their little social boat.
And they have to stop doing drugs and partying. Yeah.
Yep, and going with Odin and all of that nonsense.
Odin.
whatever.
Right, okay. All right, please continue.
Verse 11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Let it not be, but by their fall deliverances come to the nations, that's Israel nations, to provoke them to jealousy. That's Deuteronomy 32, verse 21. And if their fall is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the nations, how much more?
Okay.
Their completeness.
All right, let me just stop you right here because these two verses in the King James have the word Gentiles. Okay. So that conveys the impression that somehow the non-Israelites are going to be saved by all of this internal strife. No.
Yeah, that's a deliberate deception.
Mm-hmm. It's the translation, folks, and the false definition of Gentiles, meaning
who
non-Jews.
Owns the publishing houses, okay? Who prints all this stuff?
Yes.
Who owns it?
Yes.
And how much have they changed?
Paul is speaking not to the non-Israelites of the world. He is speaking to the dispersed Israelites.
Right.
That's who he's speaking to. Back to you.
All right. He's talking to the Israel nations, verse 13. For I speak to you, the nations, the Israel nations, inasmuch as I am an emissary to the nations, I esteem my service. Verse 14, if somehow I might provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them with the truth. That's Deuteronomy 32, verse 21. Verse 15, for if their casting away is a restoration to favor of the world, what is their acceptance but life from the dead? Verse 16. Now, if the first fruit is set apart, the lump is also. And if the root is set apart, so are the branches. Verse 17. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, have been grafted in among them, and came to share the root and fatness of the olive tree, verse 18, do not boast against the branches. And if you boast, remember, you do not bear the root, but the root bears you.
Okay, hold on right here, because he
they
said,
were bringing the Israelites from Greece,
right,
that had been Hellenized, and they were abandoning the pantheon of the Greek gods and coming back to worship Yeshua and Yahweh.
You know your history.
Right? And they were being rejected by the Talmudists, the ones that were deluded by the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we can't sit. They're not Israel. Yeah, they are. They're just in dispersion.
Right, right.
And now they're coming back. They're home.
Well, here, this verse 17, the universalists say, well, see, Paul is grafting in non-Israelites. No, he's not. He says very clearly, if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, the olive being the symbol of Israel, wert grafted in among. He's talking about the dispersed Israelites being grafted back into the original tree. That's what he's saying.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And some of the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, some had apostatized and left. So those that were in dispersion wanted to come back in, and they just replaced them with the ones that were in dispersion. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And here it clarifies that in verse 20. Good. By unbelief, they were broken off.
Mm-hmm.
And you stand by belief.
They had to be broken off.
Do not be arrogant, but fear. Well, haven't we had some in CI? We've had to disassociate ourselves from them because of apostasy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have modern examples of that.
That's right. That's right. Well, one example, we have about 20 minutes left, is the really hardcore Yahwist people who do not accept Yahshua. They still practice the Old Testament rituals, including the slaughtering of lambs at Passover, because they simply do not accept Yahshua. And if you use the name Jesus or Yahshua or anything other than Yahweh, they will attack you mercilessly. I have been called the A word by such people. And we're supposed to love our brethren. And if you have a disagreement with your brethren, you have to be kind, gentle, merciful, and understanding that, you know.
Okay.
But if you call names.
If they repent.
Mm-hmm. If they repent.
If they repent, they have to have repentance.
Right. Right.
And if they refuse it, then you shake the dust off your feet and move on.
Right. But that does not give us the right to hate our brethren because they've apostatized.
No.
We do our best. We pray for them. We want them to come back into the fold. We're not making enemies, but they become enemies to us because they are unrepentant. Back to you.
Well, you know, and then they gather others like them to them, and they become a little subsection cult.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll accept certain behavior that we don't accept because Scripture speaks against it.
That's right. That's right.
And, you know.
All right.
Everybody pretty much is familiar with the latest breakup.
Right.
And it's not because of personal enmity. It's because of doctrinal differences where we cannot accept any form of paganism. We can't do that. We would violate our oath and our commitment to Yahweh if we allowed it to creep in. You have to have pretty much a hard line on things. There are certain things that you just can't have. And if you just allow everything, it's going to creep in and it's going to pollute. It's going to leaven the whole lump. You can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a line there. It may be right. A thin little line, but it's not invisible. It's not an invisible line.
Mm-hmm.
And you go so far, and after that, you have to say, no, we can't do that. And that's a hard decision. Oh, you're a hater. I'm not a hater. I follow the word. Yeah. The word is the judge, not me. You have to go by the word. And if it goes against the word and you allow certain things in, you are not following the word either, because we have to be watchmen on the wall. It's our calling. That we're stuck with that. It doesn't mean we hate the person. It just means that they're doing things that exclude themselves from the congregation by their behavior.
Yes, and they're unrepentant.
How do you deal with that?
Right.
Do you just wink at it? No, you can't. You can't be winking at apostasy.
Absolutely.
And the law clearly says you're not supposed to level false accusations, and they continue to do so. Proving that they're unrepentant. Okay, back to you. Well, I think we'll get
verse 21. For if Elohim did not spare the natural branches, he might not spare you either.
There you go. All right.
All right. That means what we just said. If they were broken off because of apostasy, you better toe the line and stay with the scripture and don't apostatize. Don't bring in witchcraft. Don't bring in race mixing. Don't bring in this. Don't bring in sex deviancy or any of this other stuff. You can't have that. You know, you got to go by what the word says. Yeshua Messiah said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? You know, oh, they give lip service. Oh, I believe in Jesus.
Right. Well, verse 23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, in other words, if they are becoming repentant, shall be grafted in, but only if they have accepted Yahshua.
Right, for Elohim is able to graft them in again if they realize the error of their ways and stop their behavior.
Yeah. Paul is by no means a universalist. The Paul bashers have fallen for these language tricks, these word games employed by the Judeans and by the Jews. You got to be smarter than they are. Otherwise, they will keep fooling you. Back to you.
Well, that's the whole thing. And we have exposed their methods so often. And that is why we are under concerted attack all the time. That's why we're using words as weapons. We're going through this they have changed the meaning of words, and they have weaponized certain words to affect the Gentile. Mind of the brethren. And we have to expose the misuse of these words. Words mean things. I hate to quote Rush Limbaugh, but he's right on that.
Everything.
Words mean things, and you have to know your words, and that's why it's so important to go to the original languages and study them. Don't study the translations. Speaking of translations, I'm going to finish. I have to do the book of Malachi today as far as printing it out. But I will have the prophets ready by next week. I will have them printed out. I've already got people have pre-ordered some of the stuff, and I will be shipping them out. I will have the prophets, which is the second installment. You got the Torah, then you have the prophets, then you have the writings. The writings will come in 2019. But I will have stuff, and I will have copies of the prophets, and I will bring them to the Feast of Tabernacles this year. Great. I'll bring a big bunch of them. So that takes care of that. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? In other words, if they repent, if they were CI to begin with, and then they went off on a tangent. And they realize the nature of their error, and they want to come back. They'll come back stronger than when they left.
Because hopefully, yes.
They will be enmity in them toward the apostasy. Man, I can't believe how I went astray. And they'll be zealous for the house, okay? Verse 25, for I do not wish you to be ignorant of the secret, brothers, that's Adelphos, from the same womb, lest you should be wise in your own estimation. In other words, you think you know a lot, but you don't. That hardening, in part, has come over Israel. In other words, they get stiff-necked. Until the completeness of the nations has come in. That's the Israel nations coming back, bringing them back into the fold. I live in North America. I'm an American national, but I am an Israelite ethnically and racially.
All right.
I call myself an American.
Now, you know that the Israelites were farmers. They were agricultural. The Jews are not. And you have to be agriculturally wise and knowledgeable to show that what Paul is saying here is botanically correct. All right? I just put a link in. Can I graft an apple to a pear? Grafting is a technique that unites a short length of stem called a scion, S-C-I-O-N, to a rootstock, which is the part of the tree that produces the root system. Grafting is most often done as a method of propagation. That is, if you properly graft, you'll get more fruit from the tree, and also culling the tree as well. Okay.
And they call them slips.
Okay.
They'll cut and insert a slip. And you have to have fresh, so it'll get the nutrients from that branch. It has to be a viable branch, very good, well fed, lots of sap, and that will take. Okay.
Yes. So he continues. Apple and pear varieties are both of the Rosacea family, but are not of the same genus. You most likely cannot successfully graft two trees, as successful grafting requires fruit trees to be botanically compatible.
That's correct.
So, Judeo-Christians, listen up. Paul is talking about the Israel olive tree. He's not talking about grafting any other tree onto the olive tree. Back to you.
Verse 26. Pay attention here. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it has been written.
Okay.
The deliverer shall come out of Zion, and he shall turn away wickedness from Jacob.
Right.
Verse 27, and this is my covenant, that's Yahweh's covenant, with them when I take away their sins.
Okay,
Isaiah
59.
Can it be any more exclusive? Can't possibly be more exclusive.
Nope.
By the way, let me back up. Sorry to interrupt. Verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. Paul is referring to the Old Testament here, which says all Israel will be saved at Calvary. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer. This is not a prophecy that all Israelites henceforth will be saved and go to heaven or get into the kingdom. Paul is not saying any such thing, William Fink. Back to you.
All right, 27 clears it up, and this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Now they have to continue in the covenant, which means go by the rules set down in that covenant. If they did the acceptance of that sacrifice and stayed within the rule structure of the covenant, they would have their sins forgiven. But if they don't, and they go off on their own, if they believe, but then they go and live a different lifestyle, then they're not obeying the rules of the covenant, and they've broken the covenant, and they are removed from the covenant.
Right.
You have to stay within the parameters of the covenant.
That's right. Absolutely. Okay.
Right.
All right.
Verse 28.
Okay.
Truly as regard the good news, that's gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but concerning the choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers.
Okay. So why would he say for your sakes? And concerning the house of Judah, obviously they can't boast because they've had the law for the last 1,500 years. Because what Paul is telling them is Yahweh has forgiven all 12 tribes, not just Judah and Benjamin.
Well, this is the book of Romans. Who's he preaching to?
There you go. The Judahites in
the
Rome.
The Zerah branch.
Amen, brother.
Of Judah in Rome.
You and know Paul your history.
Paul was a Roman citizen, and no Jew could be a citizen of Rome.
There you go.
And that's why when he was in Judea, when they found out he was a Roman, and somebody had slapped him, and the leader of the Roman legion said, don't you touch him. Don't you, none of you lay a hand on this man. He is a Roman citizen. You were not allowed to do that, and they all backed off immediately when they found out he was a Roman. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. Please, that was a big violation. Okay, well, he wasn't a Jew. Couldn't be a Jew. Even though he was a Pharisee at one time, that was just a sect. That was not a racial designator. That was more deception by the Jews that if you went under the Pharisaical rules, that's like being a Judeo-Christian.
Yes. You know? Right.
Okay, all right. 4 minutes left. Maybe we can get through this.
All right.
Do one final section next week.
For the gifts and the calling of Elohim are not to be repented of. For as you also at one time disobeyed Elohim, but now have obtained compassion through their disobedience, you learn by their mistakes.
Right.
So also these have now disobeyed that through the compassion shown you, they might also obtain compassion. All right, they will be accepted back in as long as they stop their apostasy, their forgiveness. Okay, for Elohim has shut them all up to disobedience in order to have compassion on all.
All 12 tribes.
He's going to separate them from their disobedience because they'd all gone off on tangents. And he's going to bring the remnant back in.
Okay. The branches effectively cut themselves off. Back to you.
And they're going to be regrafted if they're of the Israel tree.
Amen.
Okay, that don't make racial, sense.
The I don't racial understand
tree. Oh, the depth of riches and wisdom and knowledge of Elohim, how unsearchable his judgments and untraceable his ways. Verse 34, for who has known the mind of Yahweh, or who has become his counselor?
Okay, I live to see the day when the Paul bashers finally admit their mistakes, that they've been victims of incredibly deceitful wordsmithing by the Jews and Judeo-Christians, and they need to wake up.
Or who first gave to him, and it shall be given back to him. That's Job 35:7 and 41:11, verse 36, and this ends chapter 11. Because of him, and through him, and to him are all to whom be esteem forever.
Wow.
And it says, amen. Not Amon, like Amon Ra. Amen. That means so be it.
So be it. Right. S-O-V-I-E-T. What's in a word, huh? What's in a word, folks? Words have meanings, and we have to understand their true meanings.
Pay no heed to Jewish chutzpah.
Right. You have to clean off your microphone now. All right.
Oh, so, folks, is clean. It's dripping clean.
It's Judahite spittle, not Jewish spittle. All right. Folks, let me put it this way. One of the reasons for this ministry, and I've been trying to explain to the Paul bashers how wrong they are about Paul. But very much and very often, they are determined in their unbelief to look at these words as weapons, how these words have been weaponized to fool them. They're just like the Judeo-Christians. They don't want to be told what they have convinced themselves is true is wrong. They don't want to be told that. They don't want to do any more study. Well, that's your business.
It's ego.
It's ego.
It's ego.
Right. That's right. And if you don't want to believe that the scriptures have been tampered with and misinterpreted deliberately by Jews and Judeos, you cannot blame Paul for that. You cannot. All right?
Thanks well, we're almost out of time. We're just about there. Yeah. Shalom Aleichem to my brothers and sisters, and thanks for joining us.
Take care and praise Yahweh.
B-A-T.